Okay. Well, you know, I had this show lined up for a long time because I'm still a member, even though we started OPPO. And then it suddenly came up, and I just finished a show at OPPO and had no work to show. So I thought, this will be easy. I'll just have a retrospective. Well, you know, searching through my shit, unbelievable. And the stuff I had to throw away, I mean, I've got a whole truckload of stuff to throw away now. It's really wonderful, but I did find 25 pieces. And the interesting thing was that I came out to New Mexico in 93, which is exactly 25 years ago. So it seems to have, you know, I've never wanted to do a retrospective because I knew it would be depressing and hard. But now I did one, and it's a 25 years. So in 25 years, I'll do another. And I have to say that there's 25 years before these 25 years where I was also an artist. But I was sort of doing graphics and, well, I did magazines for about 10 years. And then I had my own business doing graphics. And then I moved into sort of doing designs for a furniture company, which meant sort of hangings for offices and sometimes painting, all kinds of different things. And then in 92, I decided, why not combine my political work, because I was also very active in anti-nuclear stuff. Maybe I can figure out a way where I don't have to work for the furniture company, because they were taking 60% off the top of everything, you know, and complaining that my car wasn't very nice, so I should park in the back and all that. So I thought, is there any way I could combine art and activism? And I decided murals might be the way to do it. But I knew I'd have to raise the money for each mural. Because if you go around and ask for a wall, they'll say, well, put my family on it. But you want to put cancer and women and environmental causes of cancer on a wall, they're not going to like it. You have to get that money from those activist groups. So in all cases, that's the way I raised money for the murals. And somehow at those days, I only needed $15,000 to get through a year because I had a tenant living in a little, I mean, working out of part of my building, which was an old burned out foundry that in the end I sold for 40 times what I paid for it. So that's how I got money now. But in those days, I didn't have it. And I managed to combine art with work by going out and raising money. And that's how I did the Code Talker mural. I raised money from everybody here. And they were so wonderful about it. I had to raise $22,000. I raised $22,000 to do that because it cost me so much to rent a place here in the summer while I was, and each mural took me a whole year. But anyway, to get back to what you came for, in 93, when I came out here, and I'd been brought up in Albuquerque, so this was the first time I'd been back to New Mexico, I was about to do a Wall of Respect for Women that summer. So I came out here with some little pieces of wood with a, I don't know, I don't have anything from 93 except this Xerox, but this is probably, I think this is the same size. This is a pinon, and it's on a piece of wood that's, I had these pieces of wood with me, and we were camping out at RV park, and I would do one a day, and I usually give them away, so that's why I only have that left. But anyway, I dared to actually jump in and do a pinon. But then we came back. So for the first 10 years of being out here, I was only here in the winter, and I'd paint landscapes in the winter. Linda, we tried to wait for you, but we didn't wait. Rick said, go ahead.
I didn't think you were going to talk so soon.
Well, okay. So in other words, when I first sat down at this RV camp to paint, I was bold enough to paint a pinon. But when we actually moved here, and I was with my boyfriend who got sick of New Mexico, luckily, and then I discovered how wonderful it was to live alone. Then we came back the next winter, and for some reason, I really thought this through. I thought, I've always loved New Mexico landscapes, but I don't want to just start copying some idea. I have to live here and absorb it before I'm allowed to paint another pinon. So that first winter, all I did was these vegetable things. It's so weird. I don't know what was in my mind. And if anybody remembers the Blue Corn restaurant out in Rama, you probably don't, but I had a show, about 50 of those at $35 each, didn't sell one, you know, not one, but not that I cared. I was only thinking about the murals for my livelihood and everything. So then, actually what I was gonna do was take these things and kind of start placing them, because tomorrow Murr Bright and I are gonna hang this show. And we'll reveal things as I do this. So in 95, I think I did something in color, but I could only find this horrible charcoal. And the interesting thing about this is this is out of my back window. I wasn't even going into the world. I was doing this from inside the house. And this hideous stump was here. And it just irritated me so much that I had somebody cut it off. And of course, they didn't want to get their chainsaw close to the ground. And I was there, get it closer. I hate it. I hate it. But for some reason, now I have to show great art associated with it. Really weird. But now, it's all Pine Hill. It's all within walking distance of my house, everything. Now, then I started getting into it. And I remember having this revelation, and I was trying to recreate it in my mind, where the edges of things, I mean, okay, so you're painting a landscape, and where the tree meets the sky, you know, if you want it to be in the same plane, like a true artist wants everything to be frontal, and I mean, that's what my idea of a true artist is, but it doesn't have to be yours. You know, you can't just paint the sky and paint the tree on top of it. Illegal. I mean, totally wrong. So you have to figure out what's happening between the edge of the tree and the beginning of the sky. And I remember having this revelation by concentrating on the edges of things, and I started seeing, like, that the blue of the sky had an orange edge and the green of the tree had a red edge. And there was this little important place where color was really transforming. And somehow seeing that freed me up completely.
Would you like someone to hold the paintings while we talk?
No, I think I'm fine.
Well, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Do you think?
Just turn the grill towards you and it'll pick you up better.
Okay. I think I'd be just tripping over you. Anyway, it's hard to explain, but I guess when you see the red popping out the yellow there, I was really doing it there. But now I can't even remember what I was doing. But I remember what it did was to give me confidence to go ahead with my own style of painting. And it loosened me up from the idea of the what do you call these outdoor paintings?
Plein air.
And you know, plein air is sort of a technique, and I did not want to get trapped in that. So this got me started.
How about if I take the painting over to the wall for you?
Well, that would be okay. See, now she's we'll allow Carol to do it. She's on the Arts Council. So I don't know if you can see a transition, because now we're getting into more conventional colors. But at least I've learned how to pull everything together. Get up again. You got 25 years. And by the way, these are all going to be for sale. And they're not really, I didn't pick the best of everything, because I still think maybe someday I will, you know, be valued. So these will all be for sale, and if anybody's interested in any, speak to me. I haven't even decided how much they could be. And of course, if it's somebody I know, and besides, if you buy two pieces, you get free art forever. Now, see, so much snow. I mean, a lot of my work was done in the winter. For 10 years, I worked in the winter. But boy, and we had different snow then. We had so much more snow. And yet it was always warm in the middle of the day. It was just so beautiful. We just haven't had winters like this since then. But now I'm sort of beginning in a little plenary kind of stuff with the blue shadows and trying to make things glow. But at least I never got carried away with just that, because I had established something. I sound like I'm dead already. Okay, so then I discovered red. In 1999, everything was red. It's ridiculous. I mean, I outlined everything with red. I drew everything with red. And I don't think that's even cadmium red light. And these are acrylics. That isn't the same color as the background of yours, is it? What color is that? It's got to be cadmium. And it's lucky I'm still alive. I've had so much cadmium red light go in. You know. Here's another. This is 2000, and I was really on a roll in 2000. I just did so much work, you wouldn't believe. And this is the red behind things, but less paint, you know, a little thinner. But I feel like I really knew what I was doing there. In fact, I probably felt I was too good. You know, because a lot of it is kind of by rote, some of it, the other pieces. That's a pretty nice one. Then I panicked because I couldn't find a single thing of 2001 until I went down to the basement and had to go through Josh's room, you know, the Silver Stallion. And he lives in a pile of clothing. Poor Josh, I shouldn't be so mean. But in the dust, I found these are paper. Everything else is on wood, but this is... I found a stack of these, and I thought they were gone, so that was exciting. So this is on paper, still acrylic. And on and on. I mean, I'm just kind of nothing too new. I guess, I've gone back to this. Every painting has to feel like a lovely place you'd want to be. They want, you know, it's like a little world. It can't be just a line of trees that, you know, some kind of tour de force of mountains and trees. For me, it has to be a place that has cozy places in it. Something to remember. Now see, this is almost all natural colors, but just enough red to, you know, to make it brilliant. So I think this is kind of a good era too. And then this is that big caldera on part of the Continental Divide that you can see from lots of places in my house. I mean, where I live, these 9 acres that I bought in 93, it was a big ranch that got divided into little pieces. And everybody else gave up all around me. They just couldn't hack it. So now I'm 3 miles from the road. I'm 3 miles from the gravel road. And there, I can stand on a hill and not see anything for 360 degrees. You've been there. It's just how much luxury can you stand? You know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Okay, and here's a typical winter painting. I mean, maybe we don't have to do this. Are you still...
Are we going up to those dates now?
Yep.
Oh, we haven't even got there yet. Okay. I mean, so many of these paintings have the same mesa in the background, but that's something directly behind my house. But it's about a half a mile. I'm over another ridge. And this is on state land.
Is it better now?
Huh?
Does it have a name? Is it the Pedernal for bees?
You know, I have to name them all tomorrow, too.
Wow. Well, I mean, but if you name the mesa, then you'll make it famous.
Yeah, but I can't name the mesa. Somebody's had... There's some horrible names people give to these things. I just...
Okay. But you can name it, and then we'll just call it that.
But you can hardly see the mesa in that one.
In the winter, when it's so cold, did you have to wear gloves so your hands are free?
You know, I'm wearing gloves lately, but no, I don't remember. No, yes, I probably do, because I always get at Walmart the dollar white gloves. I have stacks and stacks of them. But no, I remember all these days as being full of snow, but warm, just lovely. And it's still like that, but we did have more snow. Still. You asked, yeah, Rose wanted to know which was my favorite. And this had never been framed, but I always felt it was my favorite. I felt it was just so inspired. So I finally framed it, and I think it is pretty good. And wait, just look at this for one thing. This is what this sort of halo edge, the edge of a big rock, but the sky color is behind it. But I think it works. I think it comes forward because we do understand that there's this edge color. And this is typical. Everything is sort of outlined in yellow. I got going. And the little clouds are outlined. I mean, maybe it's Walt Disney. It's a little bit cartoony. But it is my favorite. Because I still can't really figure out how I did it. And it's on paper. And then this is sort of, I don't know where we're going, but you see things are getting different. In fact, I was starting to make myself, I think these are oils. Yeah, this is where I switched to oils. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and saying, I've got to use oils. And I can't remember, there's some story attached to it, but who cares? This is a little too strong, I think. But I couldn't find, there weren't too many things from this era. I think I sold a lot that year. Okay, now we're trying to go abstract, or, you know, I'm trying to change. And this is in a wonderful area that you can walk up to that's just rocks with, what is this tree?
Ponderosa.
Ponderosas sticking up, and no ponderosas around me. But walking to this place where these rocks are. What?
In the canyon?
No, it's actually up high. Mm-hmm. And there's sort of canyons in these rocks. But they're all very pink and wonderful. But in a way, you get kind of sick of them after drawing them too many times. So, I mean, I like plain landscapes too. Like, this would be a plain. Okay, in 2009, I started using these washes. I did this kind of thing for a whole year. But this is all plain. This is just trees. This could even be New England. And I kind of like that. Hey, you came. D. Okay. Now, this might be my second favorite. There's no date. I didn't even sign it. But I know that it's 2010 because it's just like another one. And this is right on my property. Nothing exciting at all. But after this one, I started taking my landscapes into my studio and working them to death. In fact, I really did. I would ruin them. I'd go over and over and over them, and I thought, why am I painting this tree over and over and over? And that made me decide I better go abstract. So I didn't bring any of those because I hate them. And then I did a whole, probably almost a year of terrible abstractions, which I did on huge canvases because I thought you got to use big canvases. And I would use like $50 worth of paint, totally wasted, you know, because I'd be saying, no, that's no good. And the next day I'd be scraping it off. And it was oils, so it was I probably was using, you know, at least $20 of paint every day. I mean, it was absurd. But I felt I had to go through that stage to sort of figure out if I could do anything good. And, oh, thanks. See, you gave her a hard job.
It's a wonderful
okay.
Job.
Okay. So then I did do some abstracts that I liked. And these go together. You know, I was just sort of doing calligraphy. I guess drawing has always been a big thing for me, along with color. So those started to feel like mine. My other abstractions were so horrible. I can't believe it. And I went from that kind of style to this. Never sold. Well, I did sell. I did sell one to Lydio and one to Bob Roseborough, my dentist and my lawyer. Now I'm trying to get back the one from Lydio because he has it sort of hanging in this dentist's office. So awful. And it's really, really quite nice. But anyway, see, now I'm really getting into it. Color, shape, form, and they're all mine. I'm quite proud of this whole series. Is it? Well, there we are. Okay, we can just leave, yeah. Okay, so now what happens is I discover colored pencils. And I did colored pencils for 3 years. And here's one. And what can I say about that? It's just color. That's all I'm concerned with here. Thank you for speaking. Other people are allowed to, too. Dee, you look great. I don't really know what to say. The funny thing about these is, though, if you don't have them framed, they get kind of they get oxidized. So I had to polish these up last night as I was framing them. And I'm wondering, because Nate Haveman traded me one of almost like this for an ad in The Journey. Did anybody see him when he was here this week, Nate? I need to ask him if his oxidized, but it was framed, so. So there's a problem. There's always a problem with everything, you know.
We'll just slide this one.
Okay.
Here.
This one is not framed correctly. I've got to reframe it tomorrow, but this is one of my favorites. But when I was doing this at 11 o'clock last night, I realized that it was supposed to be in a different mat. But I said, God, I've got to just get this done. Anyway, but that was my scribbling period. Yeah, those drawings, you just didn't know where you were going with that. And I've got 65 of them in a stack. I counted them all, and they were, ones I didn't throw away. But it was so easy to make a mess. I mean, some of them I thought, I knew they were horrible right away, so I could tear them up. But just scribbling, it's hard to know if it's good. They have to kind of prove themselves over time. And if you go to my website, you'll see my little video about creating white, which I thought was in such a racist, creating white. How did I even get away with that? But I did get away with it. I mean, I had a show called Creating White. But it was about wanting to be more, to have more control than this. So it was like a complete opposite. I wanted to be more organized. So I've got 35 of those too. And Chuck Van Drunen has one almost exactly like it for another ad in The Journey. See, The Journey would come and take the best piece out of the show. Okay, and then I have 2 years of glass. One I didn't show, but because I think it was 2012 I did glass. And then in 2016, I painted on glass and had a show here last year, a year ago, of glass. And it was a horrible experience, which I don't know why I have to keep talking about it. But my brother said the reason that nobody looked at the work, it wasn't because they were trying to get to the bathroom there, but I think they were. It was because it was too low. Too low. Your glass was too low. It was just a horrible experience. So I'm never going back to glass, but I have a big piece of glass that will be in the front window when I hang everything tomorrow. Okay, so glass. So I said no more glass. It was like no more abstract, no more nothing. What am I going to do next? And so I just took my paper and pencil, paper and marker out, and did black and white drawing landscapes for about 6 months. And I was just so happy sitting out in the land again with the dogs with me and my coffee and my tea. I mean, of course, tea. And I said, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I went from drawings on paper and then drawings on wood. And now this is where I'm at with this, with background color. And that's where I'm at right now. But I think I will be doing landscapes for the rest of for the next 25 years.
So now, when you do this,
yeah,
are you looking at anything, or is this
completely following. I'm out there, sitting on the ground, with my little, and I'm always sitting. See, all my things are low, because to carry one of those standing easels is really heavy. So I'm sitting with a little tiny, what do you call them? Three-legged things.
Tripod.
Well, huh? This is
easel.
Yeah, no, this is all real. Reality.
Yeah, so, okay.
And it's, I'm there. I'm measuring spaces, and I'm starting from one corner and hoping I'll get, you know, I...
You start from one corner.
Well, I have been doing that, but of course I don't like that. I'm doing a little sketch ahead of time. First, I didn't even do a little sketch ahead of time. So it's developing.
B, this reminds me of an abstract version of what we might have called posterized video at one point, in which it was an effect.
Yeah.
You took a video and you ran it through this filter and it came out with these negative images. But this, to me, it speaks to that process.
Uh-huh. Well, it started off completely random. I would just pick up a color, not even knowing what it was, and do it on white. For another 3 months, I just did things on white. And now, before I go out with a canvas, I do a small piece to test the colors. Well, first I paint a lot of pieces of paper with the same color and try to see what colors are going to work. Like this one, I did not allow myself to use red. But then later, I saw how red looked, and I thought, maybe I should do one with just reds on it, the same color. But anyway, so I just spend a lot of time planning the colors before I go out to do the work. But I'm still kind of picking up completely randomly, and I'm afraid to get too confident. I'm afraid to learn too much, because I love the surprises that happen, you know, like with the dark and the light, where this becomes positive when it's darker than the line, and this is behind, you know, this falls behind when it's lighter than the line. Anyway, I'm just having a fun time, that's all. And Rick bought one that I actually think is better than this one, but it was on the same greenish background, only a darker green. And I think I'm going to do another one on that color, because I'm not that happy with this color. But anyway, I'm having a lot of fun at 77. Any questions? Of course, Linda is a member of OPO, and she's spends every day going further in her color. And I'm competing with her. I look and I say, oh, she's doing yellows. Maybe I should order a cadmium yellow, you know. I really am competing. I mean, but I love that. No, but this is making
maybe
us both.
Is inspired by.
Well, no, because we're both trying to do something. She's trying to do something better every day. You can tell. You know, she rejects anything that she did already. She's doing a bigger trowel. You know, first she's got a little trowel like that. Now she's got this masonry trowel. So I'm trying to do that, too. And it's really great. I mean, I wish we had more of a community of artists that were involved with each other's work, and a little bit more of that.
Do you want me to take this over to the wall?
Yeah, well.
My limited, you know, appreciation of art, I've never seen that creativity in bringing forth nature with the diversity of color, you know, coming through. Is that a school, or are you originally?
It's my own school, and Pat congratulated me on it. She said it was smart. You know, that was wonderful. You gave me a big boost. Oh, thanks for coming.
There's kind of a surprise element, you know? It's like, oh, I've seen this thing. No, I've never seen it before. At first, you know, it's just like, you think, oh, where did this come from? You know? It has a familiarity about it, but it has a surprise element. Even your, probably your ones that you don't like, the ugly ones or whatever, they still, you have a surprise. Even when you went from the red and green one to a more controlled one, there's still a unique, there's so surprise in there. It's like, where's she going with this?
See, your animal has a pink one.
Oh, yeah, they have.
What year do you think that was?
That's your year. What's your year?
I think it's about 2007.
Or no.
Yeah, I sold everything out of that show at Milan's. Mm-hmm. I don't have any of that left, any of that period. And that's probably the only year I really sold anything, you know.
So you want to borrow the money?
Well, that's why I gave you the red one. No, I'm kidding. No. No, but I found something from that year.
Yeah.
What did we? You thought it was six?
Seven?
I know, and that's the worst one. I hate that. I might change that out.
Yeah, mine's better.
Well, Pat has very good artistic. She's a collector of art.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on 25 years of evolution.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.